And I believe, Charles, you were Sir Tim Barrow's boss in Moscow in the 1990s.
Yeah, this is going back a long way. I went to Moscow just after the fall of communism, actually, and Tim was one of the... At that point, I was the political counsellor in the embassy, and he was the second secretary.
So he's inherited this slightly poisoned chalice. And what can you tell us about him? How's he likely to react to the appointment?
Well, I think he'll be pleased, because every good civil servant, every good diplomat likes a job. And this is probably in the last, I suppose, you know, perhaps with the exception of some of these issues dealing with the collapse of the Soviet Union, the mother of all civil service jobs that one could possibly aim for. It's a huge challenge, and it's a great honour, frankly, for him to be chosen. But I think I was just reading on the internet an article about the list of all the possible candidates, which, of course, didn't mention him. And if I'd had to choose a candidate with him, I would have chosen him of all the people I knew on that list. And
why?
I didn't. Well, because I think he's someone who is, I mean, in the best possible public service sense of the word, loyal. You know, you point him at a target, he will go for it. He'll be unflinching in his thoughts on the subject, but once you've agreed a consensus, he'll say, fine, let's get after that, and he'll go for it. And he was like that as a young man, and I've kept in sporadic touch with him ever since then, and, you know, he's always been that way. So I think he's a good choice. Plus, I think it's actually very important in the whole Brexit problem, you know, which is a technically incredibly complex negotiation, to have a diplomat heading it who isn't just a Eurocrat. He's got this immense Russian experience, and working out where we as the UK and where Europe fits in with Putin, given what you were just talking about 10 seconds ago about Donald Trump and so on, it's very important, I think, to have someone with that breadth of experience. So he is steeped in European process, but he's done a lot more than that.
Now, I've been looking at what people are saying on Twitter. A couple of political editors are saying that he's very probably a Remainer who in the Foreign Office isn't, but he gets on very well with Boris Johnson. And that sort of personal relationship is quite important in these things, isn't it?
Well, I don't think you should jump to conclusions to who's a Remainer and who isn't. I think the whole point is of our civil service is that, you know, there are people who've worked in the EU and love it. There are people who've worked in the EU and hate it. You know, so not all Foreign Office people are a cliche. And he certainly isn't a cliche. He's someone, like I say, who's very practical, who will, you know, who'll give ministers a very blunt assessment of where people are based upon his experience and where the issues are and what the priorities are and how best to tackle it. But he won't pull his punches, I think, in tackling it if he's told to deliver as best he can a sane negotiation.
And that's quite important, isn't it? Because, of course, one of the things that we understand, we don't know, but we keep being told, is that Theresa May didn't like what she was being told by Sir Ivan Rogers.
Well, she might not like what she's told by Tim Barrow. You know, there are certain things you have to tell ministers because they happen to be the way it is. But I think probably in this situation it's good to have... I mean, don't forget, one of the things that has happened in the mission in Brussels is that people who aren't diplomats have taken that top job. The last couple of people weren't diplomats. They were, you know, Treasury people, really. And I would say this as a former diplomat, but I do nonetheless think that there's an issue of diplomacy in all this, which goes beyond, you know, issues of money and process. And I think having someone with a diplomatic sensibility and a sort of, quiet advice on how to get on with people, as well as wisdom on the process, is, I think, a good thing, actually.
I mean, we shouldn't judge anything from pictures, but I've just seen a picture of Sir Tim. He looks a larger-than-life personality, quite a garrulous man. Is that right? I mean, that's just a first instinct I've got from just seeing a picture of him.
No, he's certainly got a sort of impressive beard. He's not. I wouldn't say he is that garrulous and larger-than-life. I think he's quite businesslike. But I don't know, in all this, it's a huge subject, and I think we're... If you have to choose someone for this job, he is, as probably, given where we are, as good as it gets at the moment. He will get on with people because he's charming, but he's not soft, and he's not someone who's going to dither.
In terms of the process here, clearly the normal processes have been got round, if that's not an ugly phrase. And no one expected the replacement for Sir Ivan to be announced so quickly. What do you think the Foreign Office will think of that?
I think they'll be delighted, because for the first time in the last however many years it is, they've got one of their top people back in the job. I mean, Tim is popular and trusted and sensible, and I think we'll be good. So I don't know who wasn't expecting Ivan Rogers to be replaced quickly. I'd have expected him to be replaced very quickly because you've got to get on with it. Mm. I mean, just one last point from me, if I can, I mean, subject to what else you have to ask me. What is really important to understand is that you cannot expect your civil servants at the highest level or the lowest level to be, to have better policy insight than, in a sense, the ministers do themselves. You know, if ministers cannot agree what sort of Brexit you want, Tim Barrow or me or no one else can deliver that answer. They have to choose between some hard choices. And Tim will be up there giving hard choices because these things matter. You know, different, there are implications for the city, implications for jobs, implications for you and me, you know, for the internet, the way it works in the UK, on how all these things are handled. So it is complicated, and I think the, you know, Tim will be fearless, frankly, in putting to ministers the choices, but they have to take the decision.
Well, and when you're in this position where you're replacing somebody like Sir Ivan Rogers, you're never more powerful than in the first weeks in your job, and presumably that's quite an advantage to him because he will be able to do exactly as you suggest and tell ministers exactly what he thinks without any fear of any comeback.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't think necessarily it's quite right to say that you're only powerful, you know, you're as powerful as you're ever going to be in your first weeks, because I think, you know, you just need to get up to speed. One of the things about this job, at least as far as I understand the procedure, but maybe it's slightly different now because I've, you know, been working in the system for a year or two, is that in effect, this is almost a cabinet level appointment. You know, it's the only ambassador job where you are really dealing with the whole of Whitehall all the time. And, you know, you often come back, I mean, almost every week, you come back to London for the highest level coordination of policy issues because so much of what goes on in Europe affects British domestic policy as well, you know, just the way the EU works. So this is a, you know, it's a remarkably unusual job.
And if you read the newspapers this morning, a lot of commentators were saying, well, whoever replaces Sir Ivan is inevitably going to be a government patsy. Now, from what you've said, those fears are completely misplaced.
Well, I think he's going to be a career civil servant, and he's going to be someone who the, you know, who Theresa May trusts, and that may lead a lot of commentators who've got nothing else to do to think that he will be a patsy.
Thanks for that.
He isn't a patsy. You know, we all have to have our views. You know, and I don't think that's what it's about. You know, there is a lot of process in this, but I want to make it sort of, to be fair to Tim, and I think to be fair to the Prime Minister, Prime Ministers and ministers have jobs, and the absolutely basic job they have to do in this case is to decide the sort of Brexit we want. And then once they've made that decision, people like Tim and me and whoever else is working in the system can then say, fine, let's go for that. And they can advise on options, but in the end, it's for the ministers to take the decision, not the civil servants.